You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So for 2,000 years, that is 80 generations, a substantial number of every single generation of Christians who wholeheartedly believe that Jesus' return was imminent. This has included exact dates that they were to come to pass, did not cause the believers to toss their enormous ideologies aside. So this is part of our unproblematic beliefs, where we get to look at the scripture or look at certain things. We're like, hey man, it's not make sure. Our pastors are here to help us. And today we have Pastor Chawira who's joining us on the line to help us understand. Is he really coming back? Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Yes, morning. How are you?
I am good, my pastor. I hope you are well.
Yes, I'm doing excellently well.
Lovely, my pastor. Before we start, can you please pray for us?
Okay, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the time that you have afforded us this morning. It is the privilege that we have to hear your word this morning concerning the second coming of Jesus. May we all get ready for this, for this is a real fact, not fiction. We pray all this in the name of our mighty Lord Jesus, who is might to save. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, a lot of people have argued that, this thing we're believing is not real. You know, he's not coming back, like he's already left. Why would he come back? Is Jesus coming back?
Yes, Jesus is coming back. Maybe I would want to start by posing a question. What makes people not believing that Jesus is not coming back?
Mm-hmm.
When all the evidence has been put to light,
mm-hmm.
and the Bible is not hidden to anyone, it's something that was given to all.
Okay.
To believe, to read it. It's not something of secret. It's actually an open secret that Jesus is coming again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when we say he is coming again, Pastor, when is he coming? Do we know?
Yeah, he himself has already noted it in Matthew chapter 24 that no one would know the day and the hour, but what is certain is that he is coming soon. And what is it that he meant by coming soon? He meant that, you see, there are two times that exist in this world. There is the time that we call Chronos.
Okay.
That's the word that we extend to say chronology.
Okay.
It's something that human mind can comprehend, human mind can count to say, for example, if you are asked, when were you born, you can simply say 1987. How old are you? I'm 27 years. How old are you? I'm 30 years. It's something that you are able to count.
Mm.
Then there's another time that exists in the world that is said Kairos.
Okay.
Kairos. Kairos is the time that human mind cannot comprehend. It's that which God can count for himself.
Mm.
Because God has got two characters. He has got the characters that he allowed to share with humanity, then the characters that he allowed not to share with humanity. So concerning the date in which Jesus is going to come, he didn't allow us to know it, because it's his immutable characters.
Mm.
It's something that he did not allow to communicate to humanity.
Mm.
So the question, when is he coming? The Bible is not clear on that one, but it remains a fact that he is coming.
Mm-hmm. So, Pastor, whenever we're reading scripture, I understand and believe that it's saying he is coming soon. How soon? This one always, you know, my pastor, you know, gets me. Because people, you know, whenever we're trying to evangelize and stuff, and Jesus is coming back soon, they're like, whoa. How soon is soon? Because, you know, from my introduction, as I was saying, Pastor, from 80 generations ago, we've been saying Jesus is coming soon. So how soon is soon? Or we don't know, we just have to be patient.
Okay, it's now sooner than now, basing on the fact that there are signs that he has left us to observe. That if you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 signs, but maybe for today I would want to discuss maybe main 3 signs that he gave in Matthew chapter 24. He gave the first sign.
Oh, we're losing our pastor. Pastor, we had lost you there.
Hello?
Yes, Pastor, you may continue. We lost you when you were giving us the first sign.
Okay, the first sign is earthquake. These are three spectacular signs.
Mm-hmm.
When we say spectacular signs, we are saying these are special signs that are out of all these other signs that technology will increase, knowledge will increase, there will be diseases and curable diseases and all other things being mentioned. But these are three spectacular signs that he mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, that if you see these signs, then it will be... meaning that the soonness of Jesus coming is sooner, is too close. So the first is earthquake, and the first earthquake that we witnessed when Jesus, after Jesus' ascension, it happened in 1755.
Mm.
So that was Lisbon earthquake. And the second thing that we see is darkening of sun and darkening of moon that happened in 1780. So the difference between the 1755 and the 1780 is how many years? It's 25 years.
Okay.
It's 25 years. It's 25 years. Then from 1780 to 1833, there is a falling of the stars, and a falling of stars in 1880. So. From this second sign to the last sign, there are 53 years.
Okay.
And from now, if we can now count from 1833 to 2023, where we are right now, we'll see that there are 190 years.
Mm.
And if you are now reading the Bible from the book of Revelation chapter 6, it is something that it makes it clear about.
Okay.
Because Revelation chapter 6, it begins in Revelation chapter 5, where Jesus is qualified to open the seals. Then in chapter 6, we'll see that there are seven seals there. The first seal represents the first church that existed, that was represented by the white horse. And that sign, the church was pure. Then what comes after that one is a red horse. That means there was the time when there was bloodshed of the Christians. Christians were killed. And after that one, there was black horse, which represents the time in which it is commonly known as Dark Ages, where Christianity was almost like dead. Then there was a pale horse when Christianity appeared resurrecting again. Then after that one, we see that in verse 9, the Bible reads that there was something that happened, that for those who were martyred because of the word of God, they cried to say, Lord, when are you going to avenge our suffering? When are you going to repay us?
Mm.
Then the Bible tells us that God assured them by giving them white robes, by saying, no, I'm going to give you these white robes, but for now you can rest.
Mm.
Kill other people who must be persecuted like you.
Okay.
Yes. So after that one, after the last sign in 1833, we will see that what comes after now in verse 10, 11, and 12 is that we'll see the sky receding.
Okay.
And that shows the coming of Jesus Christ. And it is said that we will see the kings of the world, the rulers of the war, and all the great people, the servants, will be hiding to say, hide us from the face of him who is coming.
Mm.
Because the day of his judgment has come.
Okay.
Who is able to stand?
Okay.
So this is one of the evidences that we have to support that Jesus is coming again. Because what he said has already happened.
Mm-hmm.
And what is left now is just to see the sky receding as we'll be ushering him coming to take his place.
Mm-hmm. So do we have other signs that are still going to come, Pastor? Because we whenever we're reading all about that, we hear about the natural disasters and so forth and so on, right? We have seen them. They are currently happening. We have seen the world is like upside down. Like morality is out the window, or this thing is out the window. Different religions now are popping up left, right and center. Do we have other signs that are still yet to come?
I think everything has been already fulfilled. But what is left now is for him, Jesus Christ, the owner of the company of saving people, to decide when he is going to come to take his own. Mm-hmm. But in terms of all the signs that could be taking place, in terms of wars, in terms of diseases, in terms of the recklessness, the heartlessness of the world, and everything that is taking place is clearly pointing that Jesus is coming again.
Mm.
But what is left now is that which is beyond our control, okay, to say we don't know the day and the hour in which he is going to decide to come.
Mm.
Yes.
Huh. Okay. I see. I see there, Pastor. So does that mean that we just need to just be patient? Because patience is one thing that as human beings we struggle with. I think most of us can agree.
You are putting it so interestingly. It's not only about being patient, but it's about preparing. It's about the preparedness of it. Because you can be patient, but patient, you see, it will reach some points in which you can be tired of being patient.
So how do we prepare then?
The preparation that we must be waging ourselves in is to follow God's principles. Mm. Because I think it's something that is clear, especially in this world, to know that this, to separate between good and evil is our greatest duty, to prepare and stand on the right side.
Mm.
Yes, for us to be righteous, because the word righteous comes from the word right.
Okay.
So if you are doing something that is right, that means you are righteous.
Mm. Okay.
For God, yeah. You and what measures that something is right and something is wrong? It is God Himself who is the author of the constitution of saving people.
Mm. Okay.
We have dictated to us to say, "I know for you to be righteous, you need to be right." And how to be right? The Bible is the manual that measures you to be right. Do you know what to eat and what not to eat? Do you know what to clothe and what not to clothe? Do you know what to talk and what not to talk? Do you know when to talk and when to be silent?
Mm, okay, okay.
Yes.
So
as you can see that you see when you are buying a new vehicle, it will be so wondrous for you driving a new vehicle that will be modern to the days.
Mm.
But that vehicle, it must be accompanied with a manual that will be telling you how to service it,
mm-hmm,
when to service it. So when God created human beings, He gave us the manual, the Bible itself.
Okay.
And that will tell us how we must handle ourselves in preparation for the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Mm. Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah.
So in essence, Pastor, you know, from this one that, before we wrap up, so what we must take from this whole thing is that, relax.
Hello?
Jesus. I'm saying that what we must take out from this one as we wrap up is that, relax. Jesus is coming. He is coming. Just prepare yourself and prepare your family by virtue of, you know, sharing them about this good news, and just wait. He is coming.
Yes, I think we need to take it to mind that salvation is something that is based on individual effort.
Mm.
We might want to prepare the second coming of Jesus as a family, as a tribe, as a country, or maybe as a nation. But it might not be proper sometimes. Why? Because Jesus is not going to judge a city, he's not going to judge a family, he's not going to judge a country, he's not going to judge a continent. He is not going to judge the world per se, but he's going to judge individuals in the world.
Okay, okay.
So it is more important to measure your Christianity and your preparedness based on personal level, on personal levels. Why? Because darkness is light to God. We may try to hide. We may try to hide doing some other things that other people... You see, it's like the courts of this world. If you report a case to the court, then you don't have evidence that, I'm bringing this thief, he has stolen my television. Yet you don't have the evidence. What does the court say? They say, no. It's a lie.
Mm.
Even if the thing has happened. So we need to understand that darkness is light to God. We may want to hide doing some other things in hidden places, but God is seeing all those places. So there's no way that we can hide to God. That's why it is said that God records every action of humanity with a terrible exactness. Why? Because that which happens in light and that which happens in darkness, he sees it all.
I see.
So the emphasis here is we must prepare as individuals. It is you yourself that has to tell yourself to say, I would want to go this direction.
Pastor, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask that as we wrap up, can you please pray for those who doubt that he is coming back so that we may understand that indeed he is coming back.
Okay, maybe in closing, let me just pause with a verse. There's a verse that comes from Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. It may appear to be more common, but it's not common. That behold, Jesus is coming what? He is coming again, and all the eyes will see him. So even those who have persecuted him will also witness his coming. So if we bear that in mind, I think that has something to tell us. That is something to alarm us. That is something to caution us. That everyone will see him, but it's not everyone who is going to stand on that very day. If we could have time, we could have continued it now from Revelation chapter 6, where we started, where it said, who is able to stand? And if you read now from chapter 7, it would tell you that John saw 144,000 who were sealed. But if you go now to verse 9, it would tell you that I saw many whom no eye could count. Okay. You see, so those who are going to be saved are countless. So it's something that we need to really bear in mind, that this is going not to skip anyone. It's going to involve everybody. So it's high time to make a decision. I think we can make a prayer, then we close.
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, all the best for us. Our eyes are closed as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us, giving us an opportunity to hear and caution ourselves, alarming ourselves in preparation for your second coming. This is something that is may appear uncommon, but what we know that is that, Lord, at the right time, you are going to come and we are going to take yours. May it be to us that we get prepared till we are saved at last. This is our humble prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Chawira, thank you so much for joining us and explaining those very critical issues there about our faith. May you have us have a blessed day.
Okay, all the best for us.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.